if I didn't see her, if I didn't see the daughter of Nagdimo ben Gurion, that she was collecting barley seeds, mibein talfei susim, from between the hooves of horses, ba'aku, in echo, korosio leo mikroze, and I, it came into my mind this posuk. It says in Shira Shiri, in lo teidi ilach hayafa benashim, the whole of Shira Shirim is a dialogue in poetry between Hashem and the Am Yisrael, where it is compared to a man and a woman, the love between a man and a woman, the love that Hashem has for Am Yisrael and that the Am Yisrael have for Hashem. And Hashem says to the Am Yisrael, Im lo teidi lach, if you will not know Hayafa benashi, O most beautiful amongst the women, that is the Am Yisrael. If you won't know the Torah, that means if you won't learn the Torah, you won't know it. And if you don't know it, you won't keep the Torah. So if you won't know the Torah, you won't study the Torah, you won't keep the Torah, se'ilach be'itve hatzor, then you will go out amongst the hoofs of the sheep, ure'i et gediodaych, and there you will feed your kids. Al tikre gediodaych, don't read it your kids, el gediodaych, read it your body, you will have to feed there.
Your body?
Your body. B-O-D-Y. Yes, your goof. I beg your pardon? I can't hear.
Is this from who?
No, from Gviya. Gviya means body. Gviya. The difference between goof and Gviya, Gviya is expressly said about a body that is mortal. That's the word Gviya is used.
Is it a Hebrew word?
Gviya. Gviya. Ligvoa is to expire. By Yigva, he died. He died.
Isn't that with an I?
Have you pardon?
With an
I, but the same word comes from the same word. Yeah. It comes from the same word. Yes. So, and so he says, this is a braisa that Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Tzodek says, that this is what he saw there. How this woman and... That is what Hashem says. And this is all part of what took place at that particular time. We have just to remember where it was. It was the destruction of the second base of Mikdosh. And the destruction of the second base of Mikdosh was a churban. What a churban. It was a wholesale slaughter, destruction. It was a wholesale slaughter of Jews. But a wholesale slaughter. The Babylonians and the Romans were known for their cruelty. There couldn't have been anybody worse. Hashem chose the cruelest of all. They were known for their cruelty, yes. The Greeks not. And you will notice that throughout the Gemara there's always a soft spot for the Greeks. Say the Torah that is written in Greek and all sorts of things. There's a soft spot for the Greeks.
Is that because they exist in the internet?
And no, it's because Yachtel had came when Noah cursed Ham, he blessed Shem and he blessed Yefes. They had something in there.
But Pavel and Edom are also not from Ham. They would fall into that blessing for that reason. You can't distinguish them on that basis.
Yes, that's true, but they are known for their cruelty.
Are they Amalek?
Today, we don't know. At that time, it wasn't known it was Amalek anymore. Well, today, there's such a mix-up. There's not only a mix-up amongst Goyim, there's a mix-up amongst Jews, too. with what's going on.
So they were even crueler. The Germans were to us, and the Spaniards were to us. The Romans were to us. Much crueler than the Germans.
Really, that are dead. Are we pardon?
Everybody killed
the
crueler than the Germans.
That
are
dead. Crusades were there, you're quite right. Yeah. But that is the, it's Edom, that is the streak of Edom. And Edom is from, it is all that, Edom is from Esau. Edom is from Esau. And don't forget, Esau is from Shem.
Yes, that's right. So Edom
is from Shem. Edom is from Esau. So, but you can see what one can lose that which one has. And I explained to you last time that the Yoshebeer salivated, the first Yoshebeer. That is, he was the father of Reb Chaim Brisker. And he was the grandfather of the Moshe Soloveitchik, who came out to Yeshiva, to Rebbe Yitzchak Zichron Yeshiva.
I remember him.
You remember Rebbe Meisha. Now, Rebbe Meisha was the son of Rebbe Chaim and the grandson of Rebbe Yosha Be'er. So Rebbe Yosha Be'er is the great-grandfather of the Yosha Be'er Soloveitchik in Boston now. He asked the question, I mentioned it last time, he says, Ashreichem Yisrael, happy are you Israel. You remember when Mark said that, and he said, Ashreichem Yisrael bismana stopped. I said, that's not the word the Gemara says. Ashreichem Yisrael, you are happy Israel. Bisman she'osim letzem shemokam, ein kol umeo ben lo shem shenetis boyim. When they are doing Ritzon Hashem, no people or tongue has got any shvit, has got any power over them. All right, I can understand. So they are happy. But the happy goes on also on with Mancha Ain Osim that Sony from Mokomotion Yadu Mochfeo. And they're not, this is what happens to them. So what's there to be happy about that?
You have to look at the whole picture. You can't have one without the other.
That's not what he says. That's not what he says.
He said you're happy.
He was a god.
Right, he said they were happy and you were exactly as David says, in either event.
In even what
Hashem is consistent. Hashem is
he says that the world in the world there is my uncle has got it. He goes further than that even. The combination of the Yoshepe and my uncle is a very fine combination. He says, I mentioned this last week to you already. You've got the mineral kingdom. You get a clod of earth. What is it? Mineral kingdom. You get an exquisite diamond, a blue diamond, a sapphire, a ruby, exquisite stones. What world? Animal kingdom. Mineral kingdom. Still mineral. Get the next layer, the vegetable kingdom. A blade of grass, vegetable kingdom. A cedar of Lebanon. A redwood. A sequoia. Vegetable. Very low as the pH. Get an animal. An ant. A worm. Animal kingdom. A lion. Elephant, camel, animal. After that, human being, Einstein, the man that was found guilty of those Atlanta, what's his name?
Williams.
Still this. They divide it, we divide it, we don't stop at animal kingdom, we divide it between human and animal kingdom. Human is a separate kingdom. Still an animal kingdom. It belongs to a human kingdom. After that, you've got the Jew. Separate kingdom. You will. Now, Rabbi Yoshe Beis, my uncle says, he said, you must be careful that when you speak about human being, it doesn't mean that he is an animal that can speak. That's not what it means. It means that he's got altogether a different makeup. Everything is different. When you speak about an animal, he doesn't say that it's a vegetable that can move. A vegetable can only nourish itself and can reproduce. An animal can nourish itself and reproduce, and it's got one thing more. It can move. You can't compare it. It's nourishing system, its reproductive system, it's altogether a different thing. Can't come in. So, it's a different world altogether. So, the converse is, when a vegetable ceases to be a vegetable, does it become a mineral? When an animal ceases to be an animal, it dies, does it become a vegetable? It doesn't, decays, it smells. When a human being that's got an intellect ceases to have an intellect, does he become an animal? He becomes much worse than an animal. Much worse than an animal. Easier to deal with an animal. They kill me a polar bear, if it would meet me, he would know exactly what to do. But then I also know what he's going to do. So that's it, he can't help himself. That's a polar bear. But a human being that loses his a Jew that becomes post-Jew. A Jew that ceases to be a Jew, he doesn't become a boy. He becomes much worse than a boy. He becomes much worse than a boy. For that we are happy to Hashem. For that we are happy. That we are different, and if we cease to be it, come much worse. We are happy that we belong to a different sukh altogether. Ashreichem Yisroel. When we don't do Hashem, we're not treated, it's not like any other nation with us. It's much worse. Not only do we come that any umor has a shlita over us, here it doesn't say loshen, the second one. Not only has no umar shlita, not only has any umar, even we are even dependent on the behemoth of them. We get our food from them. How humiliating that is. That is the truth. And for that we bless Hashem, Ashreichem Yisroel.
This is obviously related to the daughter of... This was her punishment because her father
didn't give charity? That was only why they lost their wealth. Afterwards, the Gemara goes on to speak about what has happened. She is a daughter of Israel. What has happened to her? And they saw in this the prophecy, the whole prophecy they saw in this. That when the Am Yisrael will cease to keep the Torah, this is what is going to happen. That is what they saw. Yes.
What does this section from Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok come to tell us? He says, I saw her also.
Ashreichem Yisroel. Saw her also. What additional thing?
Yes.
He says, when he says, El Er Binachom, I told you what the phrase means. But we'll never have a phrase in Loshon HaKodesh, even if it's in a euphemistic way, that hasn't got a reality about it. For example, we speak about a cemetery. Do you call them cemeteries here? Or they usually call them other things. You speak about a cemetery. We speak about a Beis HaChayim, not about a Beis HaMasim. So we don't like using the word dead, the house of the living. But when we say the house of the living, there is something in it. The reality of the reality is that it is a house of the living. When he says, Erev in a chor, it means, may I not see, but he's literally, what does it mean? I have Nechoma. I see comfort here. I experience comfort here. What comfort does he experience? It's exactly like the Torah. It's exactly like the Torah. That's what the Torah says. That if you don't observe my Torah, it says that you will go collecting your food amongst the hooves of the animals. That's what it says. I might have thought that it meant it metaphorically. You have hard parnoso. He said, but then I see that it's literally, it's fulfilled literally as it's written. He said, that is my nechoma. I get comfort out of this. What is the comfort? This is the Am Yisrael. This is who we are. It's like a very wonderful father gives a child a hiding. If the child has got the necessary sensitivity and understanding, it's a, I get great comfort from it. It means my father cares for me. It means a lot to me. This means a lot. I get great. But it hurt you? It hurt me, yes, but I get great comfort from it.
Did this rabbi say all this to his students within the earshot of this woman who was starving and waiting to conclude the whole thing?
No, this is in the Gemara. This is in the Gemara. It's a long way away.
We can infer from this, though, that Naaman Ben Gurion otherwise was a very proper Jew.
You can be quite sure. You can be quite sure.
So otherwise,
it would have looked good.
I want to tell you, you know.
Not only that, but because he was punished in this fashion, of course,
there's no point in it otherwise. Of course, there's no point in it.
Oh, he had
it in the tzaddik of Kehut
HaSa'aro. That's what I was asking. Was he punished through his daughter? Who was punished?
Was he punished?
His daughter had to go finding the food.
She had to go finding the food.
So was she punished because of his? That's what I'm trying to find out. No, she punished because of his.
No, she lost. There are two things. Your question is a very good question. The money was lost because the Gemara says he didn't either. He did it for his kovod, and he was expected not to do it. Or if he didn't do it for his kovod, he didn't do it sufficiently. There wasn't sufficient tzedakah. He gave a lot of tzedakah, but it's not sufficient. That is one reason. There's another reason. Another thing that takes place here. That's one thing. That's why she lost the money. Another thing that takes place here. A person can lose the money, but you don't have to go collecting the body from the dung. Another thing that takes place here. This is after the churban by shame. And you know, this is a thing that the destruction of the second temple, the second base of Mikdash, this is a thing that worries me no end here. I feel that the whole question of the Holocaust has been messed up. Rabbi Heyer of the Yeshiva University has now done a tremendous thing to try and get it in a little bit in its correct perspective. He's got a picture that has been shown in New York, and I believe it's been recommended for an Oscar. And Elizabeth Taylor is supposed to be taking part in it. She does the writing, and she's been very overcome by it all. And she refused to take any money for it. She's been so overcome by it. Well, in this picture, I haven't seen it yet, but Rabbi Heyer was telling me about it. He puts the whole Holocaust into a perspective. See what it's all about. I'm going to say something to you, but please try and understand. I could only say it to a group like this. I can't say to a group that comes to learn men and women Gemara on a Shabbos afternoon. Remember that, can't say it. People say to me that the Holocaust, I've lost all my faith in the Holocaust. To me, it works exactly the opposite. When I read the Torah, what will happen in the Torah? Or what will happen when I read that? When I see what Reb Meir Simcha wrote in his Meshech Chochmah, which was published posthumously in 1926, he died in 1925 or 1926, which was published then, and I have a first edition of that. What he writes there, and this was the first sefer that he wrote, and his father said, "You won't, don't publish this sefer now, publish it only after you've done another work, because people won't understand it." And he was right. So he didn't publish it in his lifetime. And he writes there on the Torah, he says, this is published in 1926, but it must have been written in about 1880. He says, those of our people who say that Berlin is Jerusalem, and that is their belief, that the, and the Mashiach means that this is the time of the Mashiach in which they are living, they will see that it is from that very place that the destruction will come. If somebody would just remind me, I'll bring it. I'll bring the Meshech Chochmah with me and read to you that passage. Yes. I'll read to you that passage. You're not afraid of it, are you?
No.
Fine. You can do this tomorrow, you'll be able to do that. I'll read you this passage. To me, if it hadn't happened, it would have shaken my faith. If it hadn't happened, if the world would just have gone on, from bad to worse, from worse to worse, I mean, have you any idea what was going on there? When I started preaching, I used to read one German sermon a week, just for myself. And the third sermon I used to read was Adolf Jelinek. Adolf Jelinek was the greatest preacher in that whole circle, Vienna and all that. He was in Vienna. And out of each one of his sermons, the theme, we are now living in the Messianic Age. Germany is the greatest land, the greatest country. It's the German culture. And we have been accepted into this. This is the Messianic Age. And when the Torah speaks about the Mashiach, it doesn't mean a personal Messiah, it means the times, this is the age.
This man's name was
Adolf Jelinek.
Yeah, well, we can understand what you're saying, but it's hard to extrapolate
cool.
to the shtetl and to the litter and the whole, that's hard.
And the only way we understand that is that that is the korban for the Am Yisrael. That is the korban for the Am Yisrael. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to speak to you about today. I was asked a question by one of those who come to the Shia. And I'll just speak to you about that. I wonder if I could trouble somebody to give me a Gemara Soto and a Gemara Makos Soto. Soto.
It's all about.
Can you see from
that?
What other Gemaras is it?
Nazir and
Kipri, that one, and Makkah's three, and Kiddushin. The mother says as follows. I don't want you to think that I'm giving an answer for the Holocaust of the human, an answer for it. You see, I'm just saying that the whole thing has been so, it's been so secularized. And, right. The Gemara says as follows. It says, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Moshe, when he went out from Mitzrayim, took the bones of Yosef with him. That is in Bishalach. The Gemara speaks about it, the Midrashim, the Gemara speaks about it in Insert. The Gemara speaks about it and says that when Moshe, when the Am Yisrael went out of Egypt, Moshe had to go and find where Yosef was buried. He didn't know where he was buried. Obviously, the Egyptians didn't want him. Yaakov was taken to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. When Yosef died, he wasn't taken to be buried. And he says that when Hashem visits you, you take my bones with you. But why didn't he do the same as he did for his father? Evidently, he saw that there could be trouble. When he was alive, he had a lot of power and he could arrange it. But the Egyptians wanted it. I said they must have believed that as long as Yosef's body is there, they'll always have plenty, you see. So where he goes and he starts looking for, when did he do it? During the days when it was the plague of the darkness. When the Egyptians couldn't see. And what were the Am Yisrael busy doing? They were busy going, getting money from the Egyptians and seeing where the money was, where they kept their things, because they knew they'd go with the Chush Gadol, they would go with a lot of possessions, and the Egyptians would give them reparations. Moshe went to look for Yosef, so he finds it down in the Nile. That's where he finds it. Sunken in the mud of the Nile. So he brings it up, the coffin from there.
Divine assistance.
Yes, of course. I mean, when he was near to it, then he felt it already. Soon the nearer he came, he felt it. And then he got it, when he came here, he got it, he took out there. He takes the bones by it, he takes them and brings them with him. Ain't quite like he did a lot. Now, it says here, the Gemara asks a question. It says in Yehoshua, the Es Atzmos Yosef Asher He'elu B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, the bones of Yosef which B'nei Yisrael took from Mitzrayim, Kovru B'Shechem, they buried in Shechem. So the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara just says that they took him from Shechem, they sent him from Shechem, that's where they sold him. The brothers sold Yosef, and now he was returned to, they brought him back to the place from where they sold him. The Gemara says that. Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, Koshu Kroy Ahadori. There's a contradiction here. It says, Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef. Moshe took up the bones of Yosef. Uchsivan it says, atzmos Yosef asher he'elu b'nei Yisrael. And the bones, then afterwards it said, and the bones of Moshe, of Yosef, which the b'nei Yisrael took up, they buried in Shechem. Omar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, kol ho'oseh dover v'lo Gomra, Ubo Ache, the Gomra Maria Kosuv Ache Gomra, Keilu Asor, says the Gemara, if a person starts something and he doesn't finish it and another person takes it up and finishes it, the Torah regards it, gives the credit, the whole credit to the person who finished. What is the reason that the Torah gives the whole credit to the person who finishes it? For two reasons. The one reason is, what would have happened if Moshe would have taken the bones and halfway between Sinai and the Yardain, halfway he puts it, he can't take it any further and leaves it there. What would have been the result? Nothing at all. Would have been nothing. So therefore, the person who finishes it, you've got to give it credit to the person who finishes it. Got to give it, can understand it.
But what about someone who doesn't try to leave it, I mean, who's trying to finish it, but is not able to finish it?
As was the case with your wizard. But the fact remains, what happens if there's a very, very difficult and dangerous operation that has to be done, and the patient is on the table, and you're the only person who needs, the very best surgeon in the world, got him to do it. And he starts the operation, and in the middle he drops down dead. There's a young surgeon there, nobody knows about him. He says, look here, I can't leave this man on the table. He takes his scalp and his dick and he's there and he works for hours on it. Gets him through. Whose name does it go on to?
The young
surgeon. But it wasn't that person's fault.
But the other surgeon should get some credit.
You won't. He won't be even remembered for this. No fault of his own, of course. It's a very natural thing. That's one reason. Another reason. It's easier to do a thing ad initio than it is to take over from somebody else.
That's true.
Take over from somebody else. Let him start and let him finish it. See? It's easier. So a lot goes in. If a person takes over from somebody else to finish, a lot goes into it. All right, that's one thing. So we see from, it's called on shame Gomorrah. I want to ask you another question. Who took the Am Yisrael out of Egypt?
Moshe.
Did he bring them into Eretz Yisrael?
No.
So why did he go in his name? It should say Yeshua took them out of Egypt.
Because he took them out.
We'll never say Yeshua took them out of it. That's one thing.
Two separate things.
Well, that's right. That we would never say. But yeah, it is on shame Gomra. Fine, that's one thing. Now, I want to just show you something else. The Gemara says,
Gemara says,
if a person has in his mind to do a mitzvah, venenas, and for reasons beyond his control, and over which he, beyond his control, and unforeseen, he can't do it. The Torah regards it as if he's done the mitzvah. Isn't it in exact contradiction to the Gemara that we've heard? Here, he hasn't even started it. He's done nothing at all. Torah regards it as if he's finished. There where Moshe Rabbeinu went to all the trouble to bring it out of the mud of the Nile, to carry it with him all the way, brings it right up to Eretz Yisrael, But because Yeshua does the last little bit and brings it, it's on Chain Gomra. It's the Bnei Yisroel brought it there. Moshe is out of it. And yeah, we are told, even if a man doesn't even start it, the Torah regards it as if he's done the mitzvah. Exact contradiction. Do you understand?
I understand.
Why not?
I have partial explanation. I'm not satisfying you, but in latter case, in the case where a person is prevented from doing it, the action was not done by anyone. In the case of Yehoshua,
so no action is done, then what credit goes to him? But to say that is as if he's done it, he didn't even start it.
Well,
Moshe gets no credit at all. But Moshe gets no credit at all.
He doesn't get credit for taking the bones out of Egypt?
Look what it says. What the Gemara says. It's called on the name of business guy. Like the person who does the operation.
Again, it says something. Mark said that no one is going to finish the mitzvah.
I mean, what?
The person himself was doing the mitzvah. No one's going to finish the mitzvah.
Where?
There's no opportunity for any. If someone has it in his mind,
yes,
the mitzvah, and he cannot do it.
So that doesn't make it any better.
No one else is going to be around to finish it, so obviously it has to go to him.
But if it wasn't done, there's no mitzvah. Nothing's been done.
Well,
the surgeon intended doing the operation, planned it. No. He died before he started it.
No, but in doing a mitzvah, part of doing the mitzvah is to have the intention.
Do you think that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the intention of taking out the bones from Egypt?
But the difference there is that someone does get credit for the mitzvah. It's Yeshua.
But it's not the right thing. And he gets nothing. Even if he doesn't square.
Wouldn't the surgeon get credit according to what he presented? Wouldn't the surgeon get credit for not for having started it, but for having thought of it? And the man who finishes gets credit for having finished
it. But he didn't. No, but the man dies. The patient dies. Did he get credit for it? Nothing was done. This is something that you've got to understand. Now, I just want to tell you, there is a beautiful letter that the Rambam, do you know that posuk in Devarim? Velo dovo reik hu mikem. Velo dovo reik mikem. Hu mikem. And the Torah is not an empty thing from you. You know that posuk? Everybody found it again. Yes, everybody starts again, looking for it. Blood of a rectum. And it is not something that is empty from you. So there is a Gemara about it. Blood of a rectum. The imu reik mikem. That is, and if it is to you, it's empty. It's mikem. Then the emptiness is in you. It's not in the Torah. There's a beautiful letter the Rambam had. It seems a most remarkable son, the Rabbeinu Avraham, must have been a very remarkable person. And the Rambam writes a letter to him. And in this letter, the Rambam says to him, if it should ever happen that you find a person that contradicts Torah, or you find a chazal that contradicts Torah, he said, you must know, it's right, mikemu, you are the one that doesn't understand. It's right, so we get a two Gemaras that contradict one thing. Put that away now, as long as you remember these Gemaras. I'll show you another Gemara.
If you have two Gemaras that contradict each other, don't you have to have a third one to resolve it?
Well, we'll see. Perhaps we'll be able to resolve it without a third one. I don't know.
You have to resolve it.
But we've got to resolve it. We've got to resolve it. But perhaps I'll resolve it because I don't understand the piece.
I remember something from the davening in the morning.
That's right. That's a bit psukim. That's another thing. That's working out. That's quite right. Now, I'll give you another interesting, it's a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah. This is not a Gemara. This is a Mishnah, but of course it's brought in the Gemara, but a very interesting. seems like this. My uncle used to work a lot on this speech. It says in the Torah, it says Rak Chazak, only be strong. Leviti echol esadam, not to eat drugged blood, not to drink blood or eat meat together with blood. Be strong. Ki adam hu anefesh, because the dam, that is the soul of the animal, the life of the animal is in the dam. Now, the Mishnah draws a conclusion and makes a kal v'chomer. But listen nicely to the kal v'chomer. Uma im adam shenafshe shel odom kotso mimenu. Take that, that normally a person abhors it. It's abhorrent to a person. See, blood, you can't take it. If a person keeps himself away from it, he's rewarded for it. But the natural inclination of man is to be abhorred, that it's abhorred to him. Gezel v'arayas, if you take theft and sexual immorality, shenafshe shel odom mis'avel lohen u'machmodoso. But the whole of man, he's got a chance of making a tremendous sum of money. It's not altogether so honest. Floating a company, giving shares, not altogether so honest. Blow it up, you'll get a lot of money in. It's gezel. Look how much the man wants to do it. Look his taiva to do it. Look at the temptation that he has. Look at the lust for him. A beautiful woman. She's somebody else's wife. And he's got the chance. And he's got the... Look at it. So it says, there's so much lust. Then hapul resh mehen. If a person stops himself and controls himself and doesn't yield to the temptation, al achas kamo v'chamo, how much more so? She yizke lo ule dorosov, atzov kol adoros. Will he acquire credit for himself? For himself and for his children and for his children's children? To the end of all generations. Yeah. You have the mice again. Try and understand. We know the Mishnah, another Mishnah says, Hevi zoyer b'mitzvah kalot kevachamur. Be careful with a light mitzvah as with a heavy mitzvah. She'i ato yudeya matan schorun shel mitzvah. Because you don't know the schar of a mitzvah, you don't know. You don't know the schar of a mitzvah. Is this right according to this? Yeah, the Mishnah itself says that the schar for gezel and arayas is far more than for not eating dam. So we know that we do know what the schar is for mitzvahs. How do we explain that? Doesn't seem to be right. This is the difficulty. On this there is a mara. I've got another question. By the way, the Maral asks the question on this piece of Gemara. On this Mishnah, the Maral asks the question. From this Mishnah onto the Mishnah of Hevizoy b'mitzvah kalo kevachamuro she'iyatu yodei matan schor l'shem mitzvahs. That's the Maral asks that kasha, and he gives an answer. Okay. I've got another kasha. Another kasha is, if he keeps himself from gezel and arayos, that schar is for his children and for his children's children and for his right through it goes till the very end. Why the schar for that? Yes, but the schar for not eating blood, not. That's what the Mishnah says. And how does it work? First of all, how does it work? Secondly, And if it does work, then why for this and not for that? What is it? That's my own question. And that the Maharal doesn't touch that question. So just in understanding the word.
What's
called? Wait, pardon?
What's called?
It's called reward. Another question. All right. Those are the difficulties. The answer is in a chiluk, is in a distinction. There are two types of schar. The one type of schar is the schar that you do a mitzvah. When one does a mitzvah, you know what happens. And any mitzvah that one does, it's a creation in itself. That mitzvah is, if it's done properly, is a creation in itself. For that there is a schar. If a person doesn't do the mitzvah, there's no schar. If a person intends to do the mitzvah and doesn't do it, there's no schar, there's nothing there. There's no question about it. There's no schar there. And if a person starts a mitzvah and another one finishes it, of course, if you start it and leave it in the middle, there's nothing there. You don't get any schar for that. Don't get any schar for that. It's called and the credit goes and the schar goes to the person who completes it. That's no question. But there's something else that goes into a mitzvah. When he says here, Gezel and Arayas, if a man has got the chance, most beautiful Yosef, doesn't do it. Can you imagine what goes on there? Can you imagine the struggle that goes on there? What a struggle. For that he gets chal. For that he gets chal. If a person wants to do a mitzvah and he plans to it, and near enough he can't do it, can you imagine what he put into the mitzvah? And he's frustrated. David HaMelech conquers Jerusalem. David HaMelech prepares the place where the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built. David HaMelech brings the Oron with the Luchos, brings it right to Jerusalem. He's ready to build the Beit HaMikdash. Hashem says no. Nehemas, no fault of his own. The Beit HaMikdash, on whose name is it? Shlomo HaMelech. Not a domino. The schar for building the Beit HaMikdash, that schar for that mitzvah? Shlomo HaMelech. Not domino. But for what he put into it? And yes. Lefum tzaro agro. According to the tzar, he gets the reward. That's not the reward for the mitzvah. Person learns Torah. The sweat that goes into it. The blood. That's a special reward. That's not the reward that you know. That's not the reward that you know. The fum tsaro agro. It's a different reward. There are two distinct types of reward. That is the chidush of the Maharal. Two distinct types of reward. Now, my question, that it goes in there is, the reward for doing the mitzvah itself, the intrinsic reward in the mitzvah itself, that doesn't go over to generation to generation. That only the person who gets it does it. A person learns Torah. And he becomes a big bookie. He knows the whole of Shas. He knows Yerushalmi. He knows the whole Torah. He doesn't go over to his son. Torah is not a Yerushalmi. Doesn't go over to his son. What does go over, the Dorei Doris, is what you put into it. That goes over. That belongs to Midas. And as I spoke to you once on an early occasion, I brought you a Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, that what are the things that a son inherits from his father? Do you remember I did that Mishnah? Don't you think you forgot that Mishnah?
The son inherits his appearance.
His appearance, mm-hmm. His bodily strength.
His old age.
Very good, excellent. Length, excellent. Oh, I can deal with
what was the second one?
Well, there were five things altogether. One of them was his midos. His midos, he goes, he hands over.
Midos is?
Attributes. He worked on himself, on his character, he achieved it. He attained attributes. Those attributes go. That which you go over, that goes over. That goes over for always.
Is that because it's shown as an example?
No. Though you create spiritual genes by that. All that goes into it, the love for the Torah. There, you create what is the equivalent of physical genes in a spiritual sense. That becomes the person. Like the color of his eyes, the color of his hair. This becomes the essence of his soul, of his character. That goes over to children. When he stops himself from Gezel and Arias, that goes over to children. That power, that goes over to children. The Rabbeinu Yonah Paskins, we know if a person, for example, does a mitzvah, he gets a reward. And if a person doesn't do an aveiro, doesn't get any reward. Sound good, see?
If he doesn't do anything wrong,
so that for doing good you get a reward. For doing wrong you get punished. So if you don't do wrong, you don't get punished. What reward do I get? Be happy that you don't get punished. What do you mean what you get? Be happy that you don't get punished. It doesn't work out like that. If a person has the chance of doing it wrong, and he doesn't do it, he overcomes his yetzer, gets rewarded. That he gets rewarded. That's the Pum Tsaro Agro. That he gets rewarded for. There's no intrinsic reward. But the struggle and all that he gets rewarded for. That is the great Chiddush of the... And then the whole thing works out beautifully. All the Gemaras work out very nicely. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, he took the Am Yisrael out of, because each taking the Am Yisrael was an end in itself. And that is the reason that we say that beautiful piece of poetry, Dayenu, on Pesach. And it says that even if he would have brought us as far as Rashi, then we wouldn't have got the Torah. Dayenu, because that in itself was a great step already. Being at the foot of Har Sinai. The Torah is given to Moshe, we wouldn't have got it. We would have got something. That everything was an achievement. That, but the bones of Yosef, that not. But for what he did, getting it out of the mud of the Nile, bringing it all that years, schar for that years, but not the intrinsic schar of the mitzvah, that not. And so the whole thing works out very, very nice.
The man who plans the mitzvah.
Excuse me just for a moment. Yes, sir.
Do we know that Moshe's children were blessed? I mean, they weren't great people. That's one thing.
I'm quite sure that they had a tremendous amount in them. The one that got this particular one, I think it is... I'm not quite sure if it's Geshman also. But the one was particular. The one is mentioned in Divrei Hayomim. The one that is mentioned in Divrei Hayomim had a special schus. You know, you mustn't think that fame is, it's not always fame. It's not always the faith, you see. Just as a matter of fact, I was thinking this morning, I was working on a shach. I thought to myself, the shach lived during the shach. The shach, this is the Kornstein, I suppose. Early. It was early 18th. Got a shach in the Taos. But these people, the thousands and thousands of shachs and tazes that didn't come down to us, that they wrote and it never went to be published, that they didn't even write. There's the thousands upon thousands, probably even greater than the shach and the taz. We don't know about them. That's not always... Fame is not always a proof of the greatness of a person.
Sometimes it's not. It has to do with wealth sometimes, right?
It happened like that. But I was telling you that the Shach wasn't a Rov. Yeah. The Shach was a businessman. The Chofetz Chaim also not. Good, the Chofetz Chaim also wasn't at all. The Chofetz Chaim, actually, the Chofetz Chaim never took smicha.
Didn't the Chofetz Chaim at the very end, he took smicha so he could go from one country to another?
That reminds me, that's like the story of Kittredge at Harvard. He never had a PhD.
What was his name?
Kittredge. He was the greatest Shakespearean scholar at Harvard. Yeah. Died 20 years or so ago. And he said, well, who could give me a test?
Yes. So the Chofetz Chaim never was, but a lot of the Gedalim I doubt if the Shach had first Micha, I don't think that they worried about it. Don't forget, you see, we are living in a different world altogether. Today, in this world, we don't know what Maseiros Nefesh is. Don't know what Ahavas Torah is. I gave a shiur yesterday in Sarazen, and I told them, I said, at the Tevri Yeshiva, when the Ponovich Rov and the Behitz, the Rebbechon of Basaman learned there, Reb Lazer Gordon was the Rosh Hashiva. Reb Lazer Gordon's shiur was every day. He gave a 3-hour shiur. Fine. Big deal. The big deal was when he gave the shiur. From 4 to 7.
In the morning.
In the morning. He gave the shiur. The Chofetz, the Ponovich Rov told himself, he said he always used to sit right next to Reb Lazer. He said that was his seat. Not that it was reserved. He said, I had to be the first there. Otherwise I didn't get that seat. In my day, that wasn't there. If the Rav would have given a shiur at 4 o'clock in the morning, nobody would have come. It would have had 1, 2.
Remember Hillel when he was on the book?
Yeah. That's a long time ago. I'm speaking about this. He's in the modern age, you see. I just want you to see the deterioration that has set in. From 4 to 7, that was the shiur. What it meant to them. You think they worried about smicha? In my day, when you learned in the yeshiva, and you wanted to learn for smicha, you didn't sit in the yeshiva to do it. You went out, you went to the shul, to the mismatrix, there you learned for your smicha. You came to daven in the yeshiva. And you were looked down upon already. And the excuses were made. He's got to go, he's got to go back to South Africa, you know. You've got to understand it. Today, Today, a person comes into yeshiva, he wants to know how long it will take him to get smicha. And whether his smicha will count for his BA because he wants to use it already. It's a different world. It's a different world altogether. The mysterious nefesh that there was there. Different world. And if a person got smicha, he kept quiet. Didn't tell anybody about it. Person got smicha in yeshiva. He never said a word about it. Wouldn't breathe a word about it to anybody. Kept quiet. It's like a person who's got a PhD, and he wants to get a, they call it graduate here, he wants to get a diploma now that he's graduated from elementary school. He'll keep quiet about it. They send him a diploma, you graduate, he'll keep quiet about it and say anything. They used to keep quiet about these things, and they got it. They don't say anything about it. What's about with that? Well, a friend of mine took smicha. He was at first class. He was an American. He's a top person. He went and he took smicha. And anyway, I knew about it, but I didn't say a word about it to anybody. And he came back and he had smicha. You didn't say any word to anybody. You can see how well the secret was kept. That when he went back to America, a good friend of his went and said, listen, don't go back to America without taking smicha first. In America, you'll have to have it. He said, I did it already. He said, I'm good. I just want to tell you these things, that you should know what was, what we have lost. This is what we have lost. We've lost it to an extent that we can't understand it anymore. And when I speak to you about it, I go home and I lie in bed and I think, I wonder, do people realize it that way? Don't know. But, Ro'isi b'necho, when I think back on this, I take very great comfort. A very great comfort from it all. I don't look upon it only as a loss. Of course, it's sad that it's lost. But if this is what we had, one day we will come back to it. But I just want you to know that there are still exceptional cases in the world today, on all levels. Whereas before it was, once upon a time it was the mass. Then afterwards it became communities, then afterwards it became groups, schools. Today it is individuals, but they are still individuals with a high standard of learning, high standard of midos, high standard of derech eretz, a silus nefesh, simplified, that Alman is right. Still there, very, very few people. Alright. Next week, I'm not coming in next week. Milton's wedding takes place. And had he been here, he said he was coming at 8:45, but probably couldn't manage it. I would have taken the opportunity to wish him Mazel Tov and to wish him well on the occasion. If anybody sees him, I'd be very glad if he would convey our Mazel Tov to him as from the Shiur. The next day is Tainis Esther, and the following night is Purim. So I won't be coming. I want you to know that I'll miss the Shiur because I've got to enjoy it. And in Yitzhak, in 2 weeks, I will take her from where we are. All right? Thank you very much.